Speaking of the Obamas, I was just reading that the president is going to be flying into Nevada and stumping for Senator Harry Reid. That ought to be good. I couldn't help but Chuck, it worked so well in that Scott Brown situation, no doubt. 770-5633-770-KMED. On the web, you can email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. Always free video streaming available on BillMeyerShow.com between 6:06 and 9:06 when El Rushbo comes on. Joining me here on the Newsmaker Hotline right now, I want to flesh out some more issues here affecting the Rogue Valley, and this is the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Self, this is the KBRA. It's the Klamath Basin. It doesn't really affect us. Well, I've been talking with several guests over the last few weeks that are saying, yes, this is going to affect us here in the Rogue Valley. Joining me right now is State Senator Doug Whitsitt. Doug, welcome to the program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. All right. What is your initial, first, kind of the broad overview of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, the latest version or the final version, which is out there for public comment for the next few days? And have you gone through it yourself? And just kind of give us your overall, your overview.
I have looked through it, and then I actually have a attorney looking through it to flesh out the parts that I don't understand. I mean, it's a very, very complicated document. In order to read it, you essentially have to take parts of it and lay it all over the house and run from part to part to keep it in focus.
Because it references paragraphs, you know, hundreds of pages away, probably, too.
About 360, 370 pages, something like that, and it references all sort of appendices and so forth that that have multiple parts and that also reference back to other parts of the document.
Now, the Klamath Water Users Association, rather upset with me and also with the president of the Off-Project Irrigators. The Off-Project Irrigators president, Tom Malams, has come on the program several times. Mm-hmm. And he has said, hey, listen, there are some real serious issues that would lead to serious calls on Rogue Valley water because we are a junior water claim. Now, Talith Irrigation folks will say, no, we don't have to worry about that because we're still more senior than others. It's kind of like, you know, a fat person and a skinny person, you know, trying to outrun the bear. And the skinny person says, I don't have to be, you know, a really super fast guy. I just have to be faster than the fat guy, right? At least that seems to be what's going on. Your basic take, is there something to be concerned about here with our water allocation out of the KBRA?
I believe there is a real valid concern for anyone who has a water right with a junior priority date to the Klamath Project. One of the cornerstones, a linchpin of this entire agreement, is the transfer of water rights in stream from the Klamath Project to the Klamath River for environmental purposes. The project claims about a little over a million acre feet of water. They have never been able to put more than 475,000 acre-feet of water to beneficial use for irrigation. So there's the claim is a lot larger than they've actually been able to use.
How can you have a water claim bigger than water that's effectively been around there in the first place? I mean, I'm...
Bill, the claims have not been adjudicated.
Oh.
So that's what they... I mean, the Klamath tribes also have a claim for essentially all the water in the basin. But that doesn't mean that they actually have a right to all the water in the basin because it hasn't been adjudicated yet.
Does the KBRA or everybody who signs on to the KBRA, do they effectively give the tribe their or give up their claim and give it to the tribe?
It's my understanding that's required in order to sign the document, yes. So anyway, you get back to the 475,000 acre-feet that they actually use. That leaves about 600,000 acre-feet that they want to transfer into the river with the same priority date for environmental use, a different beneficial use.
Hmm.
So this would be enlarging the water right that they have, they've been able to use from 475,000 acre-feet to over a million. And that 600,000 acre-feet that they want to transfer into the river is the water that virtually all of the other irrigators, including the Rogue Valley irrigators, have been using for nearly a century as a junior priority water right user.
So how could any Rogue Valley irrigator or any other off-project irrigator with a straight face say that the KBRA does not threaten their water?
if they understand it as I understand, as I think I understand it, I don't believe they can. The when that transfer happens, if it does happen, and I think it's illegal, I'll come back to that.
Okay.
But if that transfer happens, then what we've done is we have established a senior priority water right on virtually all of the water in the Klamath Basin. And the project would use part of it, and the river would get the rest of it. And the call, it appears, on that 600,000 acre feet would be made by the United States Department of Interior Secretary, because that would be the environmental water, and that would be the would seem to be the agency that would have the control over the right and the call.
So we're not water experts here. You certainly know more about this than I do. But for a listener who's just trying to make heads or tails of this, it sounds like the real control of the water is being transferred to people who care only about supplying the fish with water. Is that a fair way of putting it?
I think that's a fair assumption. So the under Oregon water law, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of water attorneys, this transfer would be illegal because a senior priority water right holder is not allowed to enlarge the use of their water above historical uses.
Mm-hmm.
If it injures or damages other irrigators with a more junior right. And in this case, that enlargement, that transfer of the water into the river would essentially deprive virtually all of the irrigators with the junior priority date access to water.
So by definition, the KBRA enlarges that right, like you mentioned, and hurts the other irrigators with junior claims. So just on its face, then, that is illegal, according to Oregon water law.
That is my take on it. That is the take of a number of learned water attorneys. There are other water attorneys that look at it differently, and the state of Oregon at this point in time is looking at it differently. It's something that will most certainly be litigated in court if it occurs.
I've had more than one person tell me, people who have been on the inside of these negotiations, Senator Whitsitt, and I don't know, have you ever been involved inside those negotiations? I don't know. You know.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, all right.
Their elected officials weren't allowed.
Okay. I'm glad that. Thanks for that clarification. But the general consensus from inside these negotiations was that what this is really about, you know, getting rid of the dams, keeping Pacific Power whole, putting it on the back of the Oregon taxpayers and the ratepayers, and having California suck up this water ostensibly, which is going in there to take care of the fish, once it gets down to their area. Have you heard anything about that, or can you comment on that?
Well, those are certainly comments that are out there. They may have validity. I really don't know. Certainly, the net result, if that transfer would be allowed, would be a significant amount of water, a significantly larger amount mm-hmm. of water going down the river to California. That would be the outcome. Whether that's the end, whether that is the desire, you know, whether that's the intent, that's certainly going to be the outcome.
Yeah. Discussing intent is and actual result are two different things. State Senator Doug Whitsitt is on the program here. So, the KBRA in its final form here right now. Is there any way or any method that perhaps Jackson County or other concerned citizens can actually interrupt this and stop it in its tracks? Or is this a fait accompli? Or it's so complex of a law that I'm not sure what to say. What would you as a lawmaker say?
Well, it is at this point in time, it's an agreement. And it, if you look at the appendices of the document, you'll find that there's a whole lot of laws that must be passed in Oregon and California, and a whole ream of laws that must be passed in the Congress in order to make this, in order to ratify this into law. This is an agreement at this point between the parties. But it appears to be on a fast track, and it certainly seems to have the support of the governor's office in Oregon and the governor's office in California, the president, the Department of Interior. So I wouldn't rule out the possibility of those law changes taking effect, and then it would become law.
And what role would the state of Oregon then have to play? Because, like you had mentioned, under existing Oregon law, KBRA is illegal. I want to make sure, in your opinion, and drive that home. And you,
from the standpoint of enlargement of the water right, I believe it is. There's also a subordination of water right, a potential problem with the way it's written. And then there's also the refuges in the Klamath Basin have historically, at least the Tule Lake Basin, the Tule Lake Refuge and the lower Klamath Lake Basin have or refuge have traditionally used water, tailwater from the project water users for most of their flooding purposes. This document appears to speak into existence about 100,000 acre-feet of water rights for the refuges, where most of that never occurred before, and it also changes the point of diversion from largely tailwater to actually largely from Klamath River. Hmm. And those are claims, the refuge claims, it's my understanding, were not even claimed in the adjudication process. They've just come up out of thin air, more or less, and
to say
the 100,000 acre feet, Bill, I mean, that's more than three times the entire diversion from the Klamath Basin to the Rogue Basin.
So it appears that the mathematics is very strange and very faulty in this agreement. We're going to enlarge the tribe's claim and the environmental claims for the water into the river beyond the amount of water that normally falls into the basin or even, you know, goes into that area. We're going to do an end run around the Oregon water laws by everybody signing onto this agreement. We sign onto this agreement, apparently, which is illegal on its face right now, but then we just assume that the state legislature, including you, will just end up passing the laws to kind of accommodate it. This is a very, very strange way to run a water railroad, Senator.
I believe so. I mean, I think that the prior appropriations doctrine and the adjudication process has worked for couple of centuries, and I think we should be allowed to work in this situation. I think that the basic idea of some type of a settlement with all the parties and all the interested parties, all the parties who have property rights at the table, including the Rogue Valley irrigators and the off-project irrigators, I mean, to settle this thing would be very beneficial from the standpoint that the legal fees are simply bankrupting the irrigation interests. The state of Oregon, the state of California, the federal government, and even the tribes, their lawyers are being paid by tax dollars. So there's no incentive for them to hurry along. There's no incentive for them to settle. They're just simply starving the other guys out.
Why are our tax dollars paying for one side of this fight? Could you explain that?
Because that's what the law says. You have to protect your own interests. And I've actually talked with a number of people, including the Paul Dominguez, the Chief Justice, about that, and talking about perhaps establishing some kind of a water court that would at least speed this process up so that people could afford to protect their own property rights.
I know there's one particular group involved fighting the KBRA. Their legal fees are around $60,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, how many private groups could sustain that around here for very long?
If you look at the you know, a good water lawyer is probably going to ask for $100,000 to represent you in the adjudication process, and that isn't going to guarantee that success, and it isn't even going to guarantee that you get all the way through the process. So if you have... if you're an irrigator that has 40 acres of ground, for instance, that's $2,500 an acre for a legal fee to protect your own rights.
Yeah, how much you're going to be able to spend, yeah.
There's just something terribly wrong with that. And I've been working on that, but I'm not getting a lot of traction up here. I think that the Chief Justice has great empathy for that situation, but then he doesn't make the laws. He interprets them. So.
All right. Now, this is not a factual question I'm asking you as much as if you were in their shoes, okay? Like I said, I've sent emails and referred some of this information that we've been talking about to county commissioners and various other individuals, and the basic response is hear no evil, see no evil, don't want to hear about this, don't want to get involved, there's nothing to worry about. If you were involved in our local government at the county or even city level or running a water district or something, what would you be doing right now when you know what you do know about the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement?
Well, if I were a county commissioner, I certainly would have been following this document along, and it's from its genesis, and had my legal staff evaluating and finding good competent help to evaluate what the document really means. It is one of the most complicated things that I've ever read, and we see some pretty ridiculously complicated things come through in our lawmaking process, but this one is very difficult to follow, and there are so many different areas in it I'm not a lawyer. I don't purport to be able to understand everything in that document, and that's one of the reasons that we have asked a competent water lawyer to look at it and to try to see what we've missed or what we may not have missed. You know, I mean, it's but the complication of it is an issue it's really an issue with me, because I don't think 1 out of 100 people could read it and understand all of the implications that are in there.
But would you be able to say with pretty good certainty that you realistically can't even look at what has been detailed so far in the KBRA and say that the Rogue Valley's water, our diversion, is not at serious risk?
I've been talking with people in the Rogue Valley for at least 4 years regarding my concerns, and you know, I mean, my friends and many of my friends and neighbors are in the Klamath Project, but I think that the concern has been expressed for a number of years. And you know, the 2008 version of the KBRA actually said in there that it would require undertaking a study to replace or otherwise reduce the 30,000 acre feet of irrigation water being diverted from the Klamath River watershed each year.
Now that was taken out.
It was taken out. And I think largely because the people in the Rogue Valley, you know, stood up and said, what's going on here?
However,
they had no place at the table, and so they took it out. However, the language now reads in 18.2.6, quote, the party shall support continued investigations of methods to achieve conservation of Klamath Basin water. And then it refers you to Appendix E1. And E1 would take a good Boston attorney 2 weeks to read and understand all the implications of it. But it's essentially, it says that the protection of the Klamath Project water that is found in Appendix E is that irrigators outside the project will be targeted first.
Well, that means us.
That seems to be... a changing of the words, but to me, perhaps not a change in the purpose.
Well, but still, that means us. And this this conversation, and you've already demonstrated how the rights of the tribes in that in-stream claim, as you say, going into the river, is larger than the existing water. And so then you bring up that, in which we look, you know, anybody that's outside, outside this particular area, your water goes first. Now, if the claim is already more than what comes into that area, how can it not lead to some serious cutbacks at some point?
Well, yeah, Appendix E actually says that the tribes and the environmental community can only sue the project for their water after they have made every effort to shut down the Rogue Valley diversions and every other irrigator outside of the project. So, I mean, it protects the project, but it does not specifically target any individual outside the project.
But it does not protect the Rogue Valley, and we are a junior water right, and you just have to look at that.
And I want to make it really clear to the folks listening that I'm not a water attorney. This is something that I've read and I've studied, and I think that my points of view are valid. But my primary purpose of visiting with you this morning and for visiting with the people in the Rogue Valley for the last 4 years is to alert them that there may be a problem within the Cape Area that will damage their water rights, and I think that they need to, you know, take every opportunity to understand that document and to understand the possible implications it could have for your water.
All right. Thank you very much, State Senator Doug Whitsitt. Appreciate your analysis of that and some opinion always also thrown in there. But still, there is certainly enough smoke. I guess maybe since it's water, it should be steam that we need to take a look at here. And it's just not the time to be asleep on this issue. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's 8:32 on News Talk AM 1440 KMED. Thanks for being here on The Bill Myers Show. This KBRA is so deep, so twisted, so tangled, so complex, so leftist. That just from that very nature. I mean, I know that the folks over in the Klamath Basin are so tired. They're out of money trying to fight it. Our tax dollars being used to fight common sense, to fight people that are actually productive on the land. And I have a feeling that's why even here in the Rogue Valley, so much of government wants to stay asleep. Yeah, it could be a problem, but, you know, we'll deal with that. We'll kick it down. We'll kick the water can down the road. Let's go to sleep. Nothing wrong here. Let me just get my final 2 or 3 years of high-paying government service in, and then I can collect my PERS in peace. Well, I can always, with my government pension, I'll be able to afford to buy food here. It won't be a problem. The other people, well, you know, let them eat, I don't know. Let them eat rocks and grass. It's 8:36 on News Talk AM 1440 KMED. Kevin G. Sends me an email. Bill, fast-tracked tyranny from D.C. via Salem can and must be defeated at the county level using coordination, successful methodology. Yeah, this is about the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. Why can't our well-paid county commissioners represent the same people who elected them? Kevin, they're just too busy. They're too busy figuring ways to, I don't know, collect government bribes to take out existing dams and infrastructure. It is very disheartening. It is up to you, though, to light a fire under local elected officials. It's up to you. 770-563-3770-KMED. Oh, this is an interesting one from Ashland. All the newspaper folks, Ashland Daily Disappointment, the Medford Mail Tribune, the Oregonian, San Francisco Chronicle, USA Today, New York Slime, and the Wall Street Journal, they pulled most of their newspaper boxes from downtown Ashland because the city has tacked on a new $25 annual fee for every newspaper box for the city government. Before, it used to be free. Yeah, I know, and these same liberals in Ashland will say, you know, taxes and fees really don't affect government, or don't affect the private sector. They don't react to increased fees and such. Vote yes on 67. and so these newspaper places are saying, hey, screw it, we're leaving. Think about Measure 67 as a large-scale example of what happens. You know, the newspaper situation is on a small scale what would happen on the large scale with increased taxes and fees. Just my opinion. Hey, Dan, how you doing on the Bill Myers Show? It's on your mind.
Yeah, good morning. I noticed on the news last night that Michelle Obama is kicking off a taxpayer-funded national obesity campaign.
Mm.
And I have just one comment to make for her. She ought to take a good close look at herself in the full-length mirror before she starts criticizing other Americans for being overweight.
No. You have to understand it. In certain cultures, you know, you can be fat. You can be fat or have some fat body parts. That's okay.
Yeah.
Now, I can't be fat and be cool. It's just the way it is.
Well, you know, I'm qualified to put PhD behind my name, too. Well, my PhD stands for pretty heavy dude.
All right. Thanks for the call there. Let's talk with Steve. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the Bill Myers Show.
Hey, good morning, Bill. You know, when it comes to the irrigation, I spent about $40,000 bringing in irrigation to my property, and I just got one thing to say to you, and I know that you know about it, and that's Agenda 21.
Yes.
Because if they can move people off the land, they can reduce agriculture, they can move people into metropolitan areas where, of course, they can control ingress, egress, food distribution, that sort of thing. And you also mentioned earlier the fact that people, if 66-67 passes, and I've had people in my office say, oh, I don't know, we need the money for the schools. I remember vividly when you had Dennis Richardson on, he said that the last thing they vote for was for schools and law enforcement. They vote for everything else first, spend all the money, and then at the end of the session they go, oh, gosh, we need more money for the schools and law enforcement.
That is a decision. That is a practice, a tactic of the state legislator. In other words, taking a look at you, it's kind of like the equivalent of holding the schools up and putting a 38 special next to the school's heads and say, give us more or the kid gets it. You know, that's really effectively what they're doing here. And they do it every time.
I'm already looking at real estate in other states.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm going to move, but I'm like, you know what? This place is turning in nothing but a bunch of commissars are running the place.
By the way, the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement is going to be one of the biggest employers of gangrene over the next, 20, 30 years. You're going to keep all of these enviro organizations on the taxpayer teat for a long time thanks to this.
How have they been able to keep the lid on this thing in Jackson County? I mean, you're the only one I hear talking about it. The other thing is, these county commissioners, people should be holding their feet to the fire.
They don't understand it. It is so complex, and even me, it took me a long time, Steve, to try to even get a modicum of understanding here. I don't even claim to be a tiny expert, tiny E, on what's going on.
That's a tactic as well.
You make it so complex, so incomprehensible to the average Joe that the average Joe says, oh, that's okay. I'm gonna leave it up to the PERS parasites to figure it out.
It just makes my blood boil. Oh, the other thing, I sent you an email yesterday. I know that Scott Brown, and I heard someone say last night on, I think it was Hannity, say that the guy is a staunch conservative.
No.
The guy is a liberal Republican.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And like I said, all we can hope for is gridlock.
And when you have Chris Matthews, of all people, already bringing up the presidential aspirations of Scott Brown 2012, hey, listen.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Believe me, you're just from his mouth, right? All I'm going to say is that am I enjoying the fact that the Democrats have gotten their blood, incredibly statist agenda and getting their nose bloodied? Absolutely. Is it going to probably put a roadblock into health care as it has been proposed? Yes. And that is a good thing also. Do not mistake Scott Brown for a constitutionalist. He's your typical, he's a typical country club Republican, all right?
The blue bloods, the Democrats, at that level, they're both the same.
And all I'm saying is that enjoy the victory, okay, because it is better than the alternative. But that's
all. Keep up the great work, Bill.
All right, thank you very much, Steve. But that's all that is better than the alternative. All right? That's all I'm saying. Not that I would have wanted Marsha, as that Kennedy guy said, Marsha Coakley, or Coakley, to have gotten it. Yes, it is better. Yeah, he is a good-looking guy. But come on, a guy was mentored by McCain. Hello? 8:43, 17 before 9 on News Talk AM 1440 KMED. More stimulating talk radio. What, can I? You want me to squeeze one more call in, Troy? All right, I don't know who. Oh, it's Jerry. Oh, hey, Jerry, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Bill. Hey, I just heard you talking to the guy with the irrigation, and he was talking about how, I think he was talking about the Cabra, how sometimes it's so complex and everything that, you know, nobody can understand it and so forth. And, you know, Bill, whether it's Measure 66 or Cabra and Measure 66 and 67 or Cabra or anything else, I think people, if they haven't voted already, they ought to use a simple rule of thumb when voting. And that is, if they don't understand, you know, how anything is going to affect, how we're going to be affected by, for example, 66 and 67, then they ought to not vote for it. And they ought to just simply say, listen, I'm not entirely opposed to this, but I need it explained further to me where I understand it. And, you know, to me, Bill, we spend so much on our educational system. Why can't we explain this to a fifth grader? That's all I would say.
What I would love to do in my perfect demented world And you know, when I bring that up, I'm just going off on the merry path here. But what I would say is that, okay, what I want you to do, Mr. or Mrs. Voter, before you cast a vote for 66 or 67, I want you to read the text of the measure, not the summary.
Right.
The summary is a distortion. They only tell you what they want you to know, all right?
Right.
Because I have to tell you, if I were to just look at the summary, so I would go, oh, this is a good thing. Well, 99% of the dunderheads in the state, that's all they're going to do. They're just going to read the summary. Read the text of the measure, get in the minutia, and tell me what it really means, okay, before I'd let you vote on it. Oh, by the way, if it's not going to increase taxes on you, I don't want you voting on it either. How about that? Who's for it? Who's with me? I love this. Thank you for the call, Jerry. I love this this government school style morality that as long as you don't pay the tax increase directly right off the bat, well, that must make it good. All hail the government public education system. All hail government, the new god, Caesar.
Live and local, keeping it real. The Bill Myers Show on KMED. More stimulating talk radio.
Before 9, and you can call in. It's open phones here for the final few minutes of the program, 770-5633, 770-KMED. And by the way, I want to remind you, Bold Fresh Tour with Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly. Okay, it's O'Reilly. I call him O'Reilly. All right. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly. It's going to be live Saturday, January 30th, 5 o'clock at Tinseltown here in town. And the real beauty of this, though, is that you can win tickets to this. These tickets are $25 a pop. Normally, you can win a pair. And what you do is you go over to Doug Stone of Seacrest Wealth Management at the Seacrest offices, 3255 Hillcrest Park. It's over there by not too far off the Albertsons, East Barnett. You take East Barnett, boom, all the way to that end there, Suite 108. Okay, sign up. He'll be giving away, I think, like 8 pair of tickets, and I'm hoping that you get in on this. All right? Have any questions, just email me, BillTheBillMyersShow.com. Let us discuss here KBRA, Tom Malams. Good to have you back on, Tom. We've talked with you before about this several times and continuing to try to bang this gong to the vast tyranny, which is right on our back door here.
Absolutely. It's right in our back door. It's in our back porch, I would say, inside the house. You should be aware. You should be afraid of it.
Now, did you hear State Senator Doug Whitsitt's take on what's going on here?
Yes, I did. And I really appreciate Senator Whitsitt because he's been a great supporter of the agricultural community in our entire state. And he's received a lot of criticism over some of his stances. And it's a very unfortunate thing for some of the agri people to come out and criticize him for his stance on it. He's looking out for our interests.
Well, I think what's going on here, Tom, is that, frankly, the resource users people that use the resources here in Southern Oregon, farmers, ranchers, loggers, things like that, they have been so raped and so beaten up with lawsuits and legal fees from gangrene for the last few decades that I think they're just kind of like a rape victim. Say, okay, we're going to roll over, sign on to KBRA, we're just going to get along. We're just going to take it. I think it's really what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. The people that are kind of looking at this, even considering signing it, if they do sign it, it's in desperation. Now, this thing is, like one of your callers said before, it's so complex, but a lot of those that are saying sign it anyway, they think the status quo is terrible, it's not working. In some respects, I agree with that point, but I still am a firm believer that if this goes through as it's written right now, and the dam removal and the KBRA, we will look back in maybe a decade later and say, my gosh, the status quo was a lot better than what we've got now.
And what were we thinking?
Right, and you have to remember a very important part of this. This is, at very best, a 50-year contract, and it can be broken pretty much at any time by a number of the parties. So 10 years down the road from right now, the dams will be gone. The water rights issues will already be set in stone. The tribe will have this 90,000 acres. Those are all permanent things that are done, final, permanent. The KBRA is not permanent. It could be stopped. Our power rates that would then go up to par with whatever it would be, even if we ever got cheap power out of this thing. So there's no guarantee that this KBRA will continue on.
Now, Tom, you spoke before the Jackson County Commission yesterday. Any response at all? Can you tell us about your experience?
Well, I had only 5 minutes, so it was a five-hour drive for 5 minutes.
But yeah, imagine that. What they wouldn't put you on the agenda? The item was not important enough?
Well, I made the request at the last minute, basically, and I can't fault them for that. I give them credit. They gave me 5 minutes and then a little bit more, and then I spoke with one of the commissioners quite at length afterwards, too. I think they have a work session next week and next Tuesday morning that the water master stated that the parties over there in Rogue Valley are going to explain to the commissioners how they have been protecting the water rights of the basin.
I would like to find out here, Tom. All I want to hear from that work session next week, what I'd like to see is that, okay, where is your guarantee?
There's no guarantee, no guarantee whatsoever.
Don't talk to me about whether or not there's any, if there's any risk, because just the bald-faced, plain legal language in the KBRA right now says that the junior water rights, when there is a problem, it gets yanked first. Well, we're a junior water right, my friend. So,
absolutely. The entire Rogue Basin is a junior right holder. I'm a junior right holder. I know what's going to happen if the KBRA goes through. And in my case, I have such a junior right that even to the adjudication, I know my one water right is history. I know it's not going to hold up. It is a very junior water right. That's the realities of it. I don't like it, no. But when I bought this property and when I developed it, I was warned, you know, this is going through the adjudication. But those folks on the Rogue Valley side, see, they've been told that you don't need to worry. And that's where the fallacy is from the Rogue Valley side, is they're being smoothed into a not realistic sense of safety.
Yes, it's kind of like the old Batman TV show, like an old TV reference here, in which we have the Penguin taking his sleepy gas out of the tip of his umbrella. Go to sleep, Jackson County Commission. Go to sleep, TID. Go to sleep, farmers and agriculture people. You know, nothing to look at here.
And I understand that, you know, budget constraints, time constraints, and all that stuff. And for the county commissioners to get in depth into this would be impossible. And they have to rely on who they believe that they can listen to and talk to and get a good straight story.
Well, what I would be doing is demanding from the people involved with this. I'm just saying, if I were a county commissioner, Lord help us if I were. But if I were, I'd be asking for documented guarantees on the Rogue Valley supply. And if you can't bring me that, then there's a problem here, Houston. We need to get involved in this.
Yeah, and they need to reference those guarantees in the document itself. Because I've been told, we got to go on fact. Well, we go by fact. I took them over numerous, I think it was like 15, 16 pages of right out of the document, and we highlighted them, things that will impact the Rogue Valley in the agreement. And my common statement to people that don't understand is the KBRA, you don't sign it until you understand it. I mean, that's a very simple, logical step. At least you've got to understand it enough to be comfortable with it. You don't sign something just because you're frustrated, because you're discouraged, because you're desperate. That is one of the very basic tactics of politics, is to wear you down where you don't have another option.
Thank you very much for the call, Tom. Best of luck. Stay in touch, okay? And thank you for having come over the hill and speaking with the county commission. We appreciate that. Sandy, on Measure 66 and Measure 67.
Yes, you know, I'm just feeling guilty because I'm having all the fun, and I really would like to share the fun with a lot more people down at the calling center.
You are so full of it.
You know, it's that you just push a button, you say, hey, did you get that thing turned in yet? No? Well, get her in, you know. We're calling all over the state, and we're having people thank us for calling to remind them.
Really?
How scary is that?
Now, the polling, not looking good for you folks right now, Sandy.
Oh, well, who believes polls? That's why we got to get down there. We got, what, 20 phones?
Mm-hmm.
And have to tell you, they're not all full.
All right. You just go down to GOP headquarters,
I've been
right?
I've down there every day.
All right.
And,
people just say, yelling at you or hanging up or being relatively receptive?
No, they're really nice. They say, we're calling friendlies to get them to turn their ballots in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're really sincerely, you know, saying, well, yeah, we'll get it turned in. I said, well, as soon as you get it turned in, we'll quit calling you, so do it.
Okay. That's one way. All right. So do you have to call, or can you just show up and sit on a phone?
Yeah, you sit on a phone, push a button, it dials it for you. If you get an answering machine, you push another button, and somebody else leaves them a message.
Where's your headquarters? Just give it one more shot.
1175 East Main.
All right. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Second floor.
By the way, are you going to be out there Saturday at their march they're doing downtown?
Yes, I would support Lynn through snow, through hail, through thick, through thin. Lynn is such a good lady.
Well, 12 noon, it starts down there by the courthouse.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll have some kind of sign.
Yeah, I'll be there, too. I'm not exactly the only one going to put on the sign, but...
Hey, my grandson is back in the DR. He felt that sixth earthquake in 80.
So he's in the Dominican Republic now after his Haiti service?
Yeah, he's trying to come home tomorrow, I think. Is tomorrow Friday?
Yeah. Get him in touch with me when he does, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's been next to impossible to get phone calls in there properly through Haiti. It's been just amazing.
Yeah, well,
very
he's
difficult.
On his cell phone, so it works now.
Oh, good. I mean, last time I tried to call him, I got some French-speaking guy pick up.
Yeah.
Go, hello? And, of course, this person had no clue what I was trying to say.
Yeah, well, I gave you the wrong phone number, but...
Oh, that's why. Yeah. So I ended up just getting some schlob at La Patisserie in Haiti, huh? All right. Hey, thanks, Andy. Stay in touch, okay?
Sorry about that phone number.
That's okay. Yeah, but that's all right. I love calling Haiti. It's great. It's just do it for fun and entertainment.
Okay.
See ya. 5 minutes after 9. You ever hear some things, some ads and stuff, and you just want to grab somebody and just slap them and go, kind of like Joe, was it Joe Wilson? You lie! Anyway, the number is 770-563-3770-KMED. Oh, here's an interesting headline. I know it was in yesterday's newspaper, but still. The so-called zombie bank bandit who robbed a Medford bank late last year sentenced Tuesday to 17 and a half years in federal prison. Now, I was fantasizing at first. I'm thinking, okay, zombie bank bandit. That would have to be Timothy Geithner, Treasury Secretary, right? You're the guy that can't pay his taxes and doesn't know how to add and subtract and also bails out AIG kind of through the back door with your money. I was just praying. Could it be? Oh, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. No, we can't subpoena Geithner and put his feet to the fire, but we'll take the White House gatecrashers and then the conservative talk show hosts that are going, oh, what are these lawbreakers up there? They're pleading the fifth. You're the same conservative talk show hosts that are talking about the Constitution and all that sort of good stuff. All right. It's 6 minutes after 9. I don't want to leave you on that kind of a note. Let's just all have a wonderful day. Be kind to one another because, you know, even the strangest liberal that you meet out there is struggling with something. Help him or her through it. Help educate them, too. But be kind. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, okay? Take care.
Freedom is awaking from its coma.